Today's program was brought to you by Blueprint, the original juice cleanse program to offer different levels of intensity depending on your needs and current diet. For more information, visit blueprint.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello. Thanks for tuning in. This is Sari Kamen from HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You're listening to HRN Community Sessions, and today we have a very special guest. We have Matt Rice from Owen Roe Winery, which is all the way out in Oregon. He is the brand ambassador. He's on a little wine tour right now across the United States, and we're lucky enough that he stopped by the studios today to say hello. Hey, Matt.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Yeah. Welcome to Bushwick.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. So I see you have a bottle of wine with you. I can't help but noticing that I also have a glass of wine in front of me. So before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about Owen Roe?
So we are a winery located in Oregon, as you'd mentioned, Pacific Northwest. That's our focus. So we do essentially make wines from both sides of the state line, both Oregon and Washington. We started producing back in 1999. Our winemaker and president, David O'Reilly, started the winery back then with the goal of trying to seek out sources for what he felt, you know, would be representative, the best representation of the particular varietal, you know, whether it be Cabernet Sauvignon in the eastern side of Washington or in the warmer eastern reaches of Washington State, or Pinot Noir in the cooler climate in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. So that was initially the goal and his focus, to create these wines that he felt were, again, the best representations of the particular varietal and their soil type. Really just a little bit of history about the winery itself. Our winemaker is from County Cavan, Ireland, from just outside of Belfast. And so that's where we get our name, Owen Roe. Owen Roe O'Neill was an Irish patriot who fought Oliver Cromwell and the English back in the 17th century. And so really, you'll see the inspiration in essentially our owner paying homage to his heritage on many of our labels, whether it be a photograph label like the one that you see here. A lot of these places that you see on these labels that we have are, whether they be abbeys or monasteries from, you know, these historical 17th century buildings where Owen Roe sought refuge against Cromwell in the English. And so just really, again, him paying homage to his ancestry, Owen Roe O'Neill and David O'Reilly, really the O'Reillys and O'Neills are essentially cut from the same cloth, part of the same clan. And so just a way of him kind of spreading that word here in the United States, because I think he's a figure that's not really understood or well known here in the U.S. And he's also a patriot that ended up, he lost the war against Cromwell, as it is anyway. But that's really the historical relevance of the wine. And so, you know, essentially, as I'd mentioned, we source fruit from several different vineyards from both Oregon and Washington. Just recently, within the last 6 years, we've purchased a couple vineyards in Washington State, one called Union Gap Vineyard and then one called Outlook Vineyard. And then another site, we have it's our own. It's a long-term contract. It's called Anna's Vineyard. It's in the Chehalem Mountains Appalachian in the northern Willamette Valley. And so those, we do produce wines, vineyard designate, estate wines from those sites, but they also serve as a great kind of basis for some of the other brands that we do produce, essentially in the umbrella of all the brands that we do have.
Cool.
So yeah, it's we have a pretty complicated brand, but it's something where we want to have something available to everybody, whether it be a, you know, $12 bottle of Chardonnay to, say, this Cabernet Franc we're drinking here today.
Not drinking yet.
Looking at it, but it's you know, something where that's a tiny production wine that we feel is a great example of Washington State.
Yeah. So I have a confession. Well, not really a confession, but I told you that a long, long time ago, I had one of your wines, the Abbott's Table, at a restaurant I used to work at in New York, and then it went away, and I didn't know where it went, and I can't find it anywhere, and I've been like kind of chasing this wine
for almost 10 years. So this is sort of like an amazing coming of age circle story for
sure,
me.
Sure, yeah. No, it's perfect.
To have you in right now. Because I never forgot about the taste of that wine, and I always look for it. And, you know, I know it's from the West Coast, but, like, why did we used to have it in New York and, you know, sold it at a restaurant, and now I can't find it here?
It's tough to say. I mean, it's really a matter of distribution. I mean, there's, I guess, just placement of the wine as well. You know, it's the wine world is, there's such an ebb and flow of what is kind of in good grace at any given time. You know, something new and exciting is what people are, you know, really latch onto. And it might have been the case that long ago where we were brand new to New York or something where that was excitement. I mean, the wine hasn't changed. Our style hasn't changed in terms of quality.
And we also couldn't keep that wine in stock because everyone loved it so much.
Yeah, it's truly.
Or maybe I just drink it all. That's, I don't know. It's one of the, I can't remember.
Confessions here today. But no, it's truly our flagship wine. It's what we feel is, it's our example of the vintage. It's the first red wine we make each and every year. So we make it in the style, like what you had mentioned, this kind of almost like addictive, crowd-pleasing type of wine that has enough structure and acidity to please, you know, people that are, you know, enophiles, these people that daily drinkers that have, you know, far more knowledge than I do about wines or regions or whatnot, but even for people that are just kind of dipping their toe into the wine world as well. It really has kind of the best of both worlds, definitely a softer aromatic style, and I think that's what we try to get at with that wine each and every year. And so it's truly it's kind of a craze, especially West Coast. You'll see it in the Northwest when we do release it. It's like this, you know, I can't even think of a word for it. People just kind of lose it when wine is released, and we love it. You know, it's super flattering. And
so that's your most popular wine.
Just in terms of overall, I mean, it's so tough to say because we make, you know, any given vintage 30 plus wines. But that is definitely one of our more,
it's a big seller.
Well-known, recognizable.
Yeah, and I know that wine is a blend. You guys do a lot of blends. Mm-hmm. What are the grapes in that particular wine?
It varies from year to year. So it's really, we started kind of a quote formula back in 2007 where we really fell in love with the blend that we made with that particular vintage, which the two dominant varietals were Sangiovese and Zinfandel, which are pretty odd for Washington standards in terms of seeing those two varietals, but at the time, the Zinfandel portion was coming from the Columbia Valley, the Oregon side of the Columbia Valley, and then the Sangiovese is coming from the Washington side in the Columbia Valley. And so we felt with the dark fruits of the Zinfandel and the red fruits of the Sangiovese, they really made this, like, really nicely balanced kind of, like...
Sometimes Zinfandels are, like, a little bit, like, fruit bombs and overpowering.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess the Sangiovese really does kind of soften that out.
It gives it some, like, real red focus fruits.
Yeah.
And then we add Blanc Francish to the mix as well, which is another obscure varietal that's, you don't see it very often, especially in Washington State.
No.
But we get it from a single vineyard called Red Willow, which is one of the best sites that we work with in Washington. And that really adds this kind of soft, fragrant, perfumed element to the wine as well.
Yeah.
And then, so those are really the three kind of key ingredients, if you will, for the final blend. And then it could be everywhere from, you know, Malbec, Merlot, Grenache, Syrah, Pinot Noir. That's really portion of the composition for the 2012. Anywhere from 5 to 12 varietals. It's what we feel is really makes up the best representation of the vintage. And we still feel, despite its blend and kind of the hodgepodge of varietals that do make it into the wine, that we still feel is representative of the Pacific Northwest and what we're trying to do. So we really, with our wines, is you see there, try to make them as fragrant as we possibly can, have this textural component as well. And really trying to find that balance as well, where you get definitely that new world fragrance and richness and fruit. We love fruit in our wine, but also we're confident with the vineyards we work with. They have enough acidity to keep that balance and focus. And so they're super versatile, either on their own or with food or whatever. You know, they're just, the way we make it, we try to have it be something where it can be, you know, I don't like the word, but like a cocktail type of wine where you could just, you know, at a party, drink the wine, or it's perfectly with whatever you're cooking and preparing.
Yeah, so. I think that's a really interesting point because, you know, like, I think there's a lot of people, especially on the East Coast, who are a little bit hesitant to get into West Coast wines because they don't find that acidity and, like, especially they don't think they pair as well with food and, you know, they're, like, wary of having, like, overpowering wines and they tend to focus more on, like, French or Italian or, I don't know, maybe even some of the, like, the Long Island or North Fork. But it sounds like you guys are doing something different. You know, when we think of like a California style wine, that's not what we're getting.
No, and that's really the antithesis of what we're trying to do. And that's really our focus of working with these select few vineyards, including our own, to try to find, as I'd mentioned briefly, just the varietal that is the best expression of that particular place. And so what's great about our winemaker and the winemaking team is if a wine doesn't work and doesn't fit that like standard for us, the beauty with us is we have enough brands and labels to where we have the ability to declassify if necessary. You know, it's tough because it's, we might not be able to produce something. It gets out of the picture, out of people's visibility, and you can lose that, you know, kind of that marketing side of it, to where if it's out of sight, out of mind, because there's so much wine out there. But for us, it's not, you know, not compromising that and making that sacrifice and just essentially licking our wounds if we have a challenging vintage.
Yeah.
Like we've had the last with 2010 and 11, very challenging vintages, but with 12 was really beautiful. There's still some great wines out of 10 and 11. It's just we had much less fruit, just much more challenging as far as picking is concerned. 12 is far more balanced, and then 13 we've actually started harvest almost 2 weeks ago at this point. So very early harvest, but that's exciting. It's good. We could get the fruit in. Which I guess leads me to the next thing is we're in the process of building a winery in Washington State, which should be up and running in the next, hopefully, week or so. And so we'll be able to actually produce at that facility, still splitting the difference. We'll still have a facility in Oregon as well, but it'll give us the ability to have essentially the estate and really try to establish the Yakima Valley, which is where the majority, that's where our focus is as far as winemaking is concerned in Washington. We do source fruit from the Horse Heaven Hills just south of the Yakima Valley, but really what we're trying to put on the map are these, you know, some of these smaller production wines that you see that really have a great sense of place and keep that acidity and that fragrance. It's definitely trying to mesh that new world style that has fruit with, you know, that kind of old world sensibility, and that's really attributed to place in the vineyards. And we're definitely hands off to the point where our goal is to just make the wine in the vineyard as opposed to the wine. You hear, I mean, that's a super common thing for people to say, but it's really true.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best way. You can't add flavor to the wine unless you're adding, you know, oak or trying to add enzymes to concentrate the flavors or do these things where you're truly manipulating and essentially playing God with the grapes, which is the antithesis of what we're trying to do.
Well, okay. So you brought a Cabernet Franc.
I did.
Well, let's try it.
It's delicious. This is really one of our marquee wines. This is actually a new take on a wine we've been producing off and on since 2004. It's from this year, the 2011 vintage that we have here today. This was released in the spring, but it's coming from two vineyards. One called Slide Mountain Vineyard, and that's in the southwest corner of the Yakima Valley. Very high elevation, about 1,400 feet plus. So very cool, struggles to fully ripen, and that's what really where you get all that great acidity and all that great fragrance. But it's only 3/4 of an acre, so annually we've only been able to produce anywhere from 4 to 5 barrels, about 120 cases max of this wine. What's great with this is that with our own site called Union Gap, we are able to flesh out the production, make 200 cases, which still isn't much, but it had a similar profile that we felt we could blend the two sites together, not only to increase production, but to make this what we feel is this beautifully balanced, this low alcohol wine. It comes in at 13%, which is beautiful. So again, getting towards that food friendly style, where you're not getting these hot, you know, kind of fat rich wines, but you still get richness in the palate, and that's just really all based on the fruit. But it finishes crisp and clean. And so you'll see with the fragrance too of these two sites, they're high elevation, cooler climate sites, as I mentioned. So really the work in the vineyard that you're doing is trying to get the proper shoot positioning, green thinning of the leaves. And essentially what we're trying to do is burn off any of the potential phenolics or any astringent characteristics. By essentially the sun is going to cook off these things called pyrazines. And so that is kind of the green note that you can occasionally get from Cabernet Franc that people might be turned off by. Kind of get that green pepper.
That's what
those essentially, we're trying to cook that off to where you get that herbal element, but more on like say the black olive, graphite, more that savory spice component instead of that green component.
Okay.
So that's really what we're getting at with this one.
So that's what we're looking for.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I definitely get that black olive on there.
You get it's this, and that's the beauty. You get like this kind of sarsaparilla, almost like root beer type of, you know, like almost a gingery blood orange peel component to the wine. And
yeah, that's great.
To me, that's really indicative of Washington State. Yeah. You get it's just this amazing spot for growing not only Bordeaux varietals like we're drinking here, but also Rhone varietals. So we're pretty thrilled with this particular bottle.
Yeah, it's really good. We're running out of time a little bit,
sure.
But I want to know, and I'm sure other people here want to know, where we can get your wines on the East Coast.
That's a tricky question.
Yeah.
I should have done more research, and that's really my fault. But there's, you know, we've essentially switched distribution in New York and New Jersey the last couple years. I have an unusual relationship with the winery where I had essentially worked in Oregon from 2005 to 10, moved back to Kansas City with my wife, left the winery, and then was rehired at the beginning of the year. And so in that time, we had switched distribution here in both in New York and New Jersey. And so for me, my familiarity, unfortunately, is I should have, like I said, done more research. But
well, that's okay. We can, you know, you can let me know, and I'll make sure to tell everyone, too.
That would be great. I mean, there's places like Vine Box and Greenpoint. I'm getting a nice breakdown here. Uva has sold some in the past.
Oh, okay, right here.
Off of Bedford, I believe. And then,
in Williamsburg.
Yes, exactly. And but other places, like I said, it's that's really my fault for not looking more into
it. We forgive you. You brought wine.
Thank you so much.
But we can also order online, right?
You can order online. Really, our preference is online. You would have better opportunity to get something like this. I would be more than happy to sell to our friends at Wildman, as to the distributor we're with. It's just the amount that I would be able to offer them would be so limited that it might be a challenge for people to find here in the city. And ideally with this, I would prefer to get a placement, say, at a restaurant, because I feel this would be a great fit for a food pairing. You know, definitely like a chef's wine, so to speak.
Yeah.
Something that has that fragrance and richness, but also the acidity. But definitely look, you could look online and see all the stuff that we do produce, and a lot of it doesn't leave the winery per se, just because the production is so limited.
But I still could go online, like if I really just wanted to try, you know, a new, like the Abbot's Table.
Absolutely,
about,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Order a wine. Right to my house, and then I could just drink it all by myself.
You could do that as well, yeah. And Abbott's is, you know, it's a large enough production that it should hopefully be in a few places. And but yeah, it's just a matter of you know, really the best thing to do is go to your local shop and ask for the wines by name, because they could be brought in. And Wildman is great, who we work with, and they're very receptive to when I offer new wines, and they do bring them in. So it's just a matter of really asking for it by name.
But what I really like about your wines is you can drink them on their own, but they're definitely food wines also. I mean, they have acidity, but they're not too acidic that you have to eat with them.
That's our whole goal is the way we make it. We essentially, we try to make our wines almost to an organic standard in terms of sulfur additions. So essentially what we're doing is adding the smallest amount of sulfur to keep the wine preserved and fresh, but essentially introduce the tiniest amount of oxygen that's going to soften the wine up and allow it to be drinkable right out of the gate, but also age for years and years.
Wonderful.
So,
well, unfortunately, we have to go.
No,
but Matt, thank you so much for coming today. What a treat to have you here and taste your wine. And your website is?
owenrowe.com.
owenrowe.com, and that's where you can also order all the wines.
You got it, yes.
Yeah, and we'll keep you guys posted out there as your wines hopefully trickle down onto us East Coast folks.
For sure. No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. We're going to go drink some more wine.
Sounds good.
Later, guys. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. This is Community Sessions. I'm Sari Kamen. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.